I thank you for coming to be with us this morning. I have a message that I want to share with you that the Lord impressed upon my heart some time ago, and I just thought about it, how basic it is, how needful it is, this admonition of Jesus. It's found in Luke chapter 8, and so we'll look at that passage, Luke 8, beginning with verse 16. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, or anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So, here it is. And this is the line that I want us to really impress upon you this morning. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, and here's the spiritual law, whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother, oh, I like this, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Amen. There we are. Okay, so I'm asking you this morning, how's your hearing? Yeah. Jesus said, take care. You know, he didn't always say that with everything he said, but there were certain times and certain issues where Jesus would introduce it that way and say, take care. That means really to give some attention. And my focus in this message this morning are on those words, how's your hearing? Take care of you. Take care when you listen or how you listen. Because there is a spiritual law, as the scripture points out, that whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. That puts the responsibility of hearing the word of God on an awesome level. I said that puts the hearing of the word of God on an awesome level. Jesus is speaking. He's speaking. We'll go on to more precisely define what Jesus meant by hearing. A certain woman came to this town in England to visit a friend and spent the week with her there. And when the Lord's Day came, it was her habit to go to church. So she wanted to go to church. So she went to the church where Pastor Ebenezer Erskine was the pastor. That's a good English name. Okay. And she just immensely enjoyed the service and was so blessed. And as she left the service and shook hands with the pastor, she expressed to him her joy and the blessing that she had received. So when that week passed and the next Sabbath came, she said, I got to return to that church again, which she did. And this time as she was there, there was just something that wasn't there like the last Sunday. What was the difference? What made the difference? She wasn't as blessed. She couldn't figure it out. So after the service, when she was leaving the service, she shook hands again with the pastor and she expressed her disappointment. The pastor had some good spiritual insight, I think. And he said, look, when you came here last Sunday, you didn't know me. You just came to church because you wanted to hear from Jesus. He said, today you came because you wanted to hear Ebenezer Erskine, and that's the problem. So I guess I have to ask you this morning, who did you come to hear? Yes, think about it. What or who did you come to hear? Jesus is talking about hearing him, of course. And he says, take care. That means give special attention in order that you may hear. So we don't take it for granted, friends, that just because we're sitting in a service that we're going to hear the word of God, in the sense that Jesus defines that. A hardened unbeliever went one day to see but not hear. He went to see but not hear the great preacher George Whitefield. I don't know if you ever heard that name, but he was one of the great preachers in England. And that's where back in the days when they didn't have PAs and all that stuff. And so they would have to speak to thousands of people with just their natural voice, okay? So he went to see, he wanted to see this guy. So he went there, and so that he'd have a better vantage point, he climbed a tree so he could see. And when he got up in the tree, he put his fingers in his ears and began to watch the mighty preacher. Then a persistent fly landed on his nose. He shook his head, but the fly didn't move. So just as he removed a hand from his ear to flick away the fly, Whitefield quoted the verse, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." The unbeliever was so impressed by what happened that he not only opened his ears to the gospel, but opened his heart to Jesus. You know, when we think about this, friends, we never know. I've been preaching for, a long time. But anyhow, you know, after a while, you kind of get a sense of, just as you're speaking and preaching, you can kind of tell who's taking it in and who's not taking it in, who's hearing and who's not hearing, you know? In Ezekiel, there's a paradoxical statement. Let's look at that in Ezekiel 33. This is an interesting passage. Ezekiel 33 will come up shortly. "But as for you, son," this is the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, the prophet, see? "But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who are talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, 'Come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord.' They come to you as people come and sit before you as my people and hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain." Think about that. That would be kind of disconcerting, I think, for the prophet to realize that people come and they're just amused to come and see you preach and hear you preach, but it doesn't mean a thing to them. They do not hear it. They do not accept it. Yes, that they refuse, the Lord says, to put them into practice. So they're entertained by the prophet, but what he has to say to them from the Lord has no impact. Do you think there's people like that today? I think so. I think in just general in congregations, there are people who are there, but they're not sure why they're there. And when the word is preached, they either tune God out or they tune him in. It's that simple. We either hear or we don't hear, okay? So think about that. And because they don't let those words really sink down into their heart and change their lives, their listening is in vain. How oft Jesus would end his discourse with these words. You remember this? How many times you've seen it? "He that hath ears to hear," what? Let him hear. Yeah, that admonition. I think that's interesting that Jesus had to point that out to people. You know, are you really listening to me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Effective communication has not taken place, friends, until the message has really been received. We need to understand that. The good soil in his parable of the sower says received the seed of the word. That's a key word, that word receive. That means they accept it, they take it in, they make it a part of them. If they really receive it, okay? So that's a key word from in the parable of the soil. It's the soil, really, not the sower. The seed is the word. And consequently, those who received the word, it says, bore fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. In other words, there's fruitfulness in hearing. I trust you want that this morning. Amen? Yes, we do. So as we think about this, living out the word, see, those who hear, Jesus' words was, those who hear the word of God and do it. What is it, that athletic shoe that says, do it, just do it. Yeah, good motto for us as Christians, just do it. Amen. Praise God. But hearing, we need to understand that hearing the word of God implies submission and obedience. That's what God wants, us to submit to his word and obey it. Okay? There is a problem with faulty hearing. Jesus made a powerful point at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. So I want to look at Matthew 7, beginning with verse 24. It's at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So it's certainly strategically placed. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, note that, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, okay? And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on a rock. I like that. But everyone who hears the words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. One word made the difference between wise and foolish, and that word was not. Not. Think about that. So there was a problem there. Jesus wants us to respond to his word, to act upon it. That's the evidence that we have heard what he has said. When we don't act upon it, then we're like the foolish man. And he was a foolish man indeed, because his whole situation crashed and burned. Okay? Just before our text, Jesus told the parable of the sower, just before that passage that we looked at. And it's not actually a parable of the sower at all. The attention isn't on the sower. The attention is on the soil. It's a parable of the soil. That is where it's describing most aptly everywhere where the word is preached and taught, now or anytime. It applies, I think, to us here even today. You remember that the seed, Jesus said in Luke's account, was the word of God. I love the word of God. Do you love the word of God? Does it mean something to you? Yes. But the results varied so greatly. And it was not because there was a problem with the seed. It was a problem with the soil where the seed fell. That made all the difference. You remember the parable. Some fell on the rocky way, never even penetrated. Some people can sit in church and just be showered with a great message and walk out in the parking lot and they're no different and they don't even remember what they heard. It's like water runs off a duck's back. Yes. But thank God that there are the possibilities of having a problem, and Jesus spelled that out. That's a great parable, the parable that we call the parable of the sower. The different kinds of soils. Jesus recognized that in the audiences that he preached, that not everybody accept what he would preach, and not everybody would have the same results. Some fell on stony ground, which was very, really shallow surface of soil. So it was warm, and it germinated, and it sprung up. But when the sun came up, it had no root, and it couldn't stand the sun, and it perished. Sometimes we wonder, don't we? When people, they gave their heart to the Lord. But then a month later, where are they? What happened to them? You know? And then, of course, there was the soil where there's full of weeds. And as you know, I'm sure you know, for you gardeners, that weeds grow a lot faster than good seed. don't they? And so the weeds crush out and choke out the word. We're talking about people. This is just an image to try to convey the idea, the truth, to use this agricultural setting. But Jesus is talking about audiences where he speaks. And I'm convinced, friends, that this happens every Sunday. It happens every time where the word is preached. Some profit from it, some do not. So there is a problem there. Zechariah, the prophet, encountered this same problem. And boy, listen to what Zechariah had to say. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus has the Lord of hosts said, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother. And do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor. And do not devise evil in your hearts against one another." But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing. That's very graphic to me. If you raise kids, you know, turned a stubborn shoulder. You ever seen him? No. That's the way his hearers were. Refused to hear the message of the Lord. They made their hearts, it says, like flint. And if I understand correct, flint is the hardest of stones. That's what people can do. They can make their hearts hard like flint that resists anything that the Lord wants to say to them. Well, let's talk about a positive side of this. Let's go to James chapter 1. James is a practical guy. He has a good word for us, so let's look at it. "This you know, my beloved brethren, that everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore," and therefore is always there for a reason, "putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness." So sometimes some people need a house cleaning, a soul cleaning, I guess, you know, in order to, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to do what? Save your soul. Friends, there's power in the word of God. Would you agree with that? I would say so. Yes, that word, which when is implanted and rooted, is able to save your soul. Oh, I like this one. I like what Peter has to say. Peter, the guy that usually puts his foot in his mouth, but this is a good one. He says, "Now these were the more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things be so." So this is not Peter, this is Luke, okay? "They were more noble-minded, for they," and there's the key word. That word "received" is the key word in every instance, because let's face it, when the word is preached, not everybody receives it. You understand? They don't receive it. And if you don't receive it, you'll never benefit from it, because it can't do its work unless it can become implanted in your heart and become a part of your life and live it out. Then you bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Okay, so that was true in Thessalonica. But also, let's go to Peter. Here we go, Peter next. Oh, the Bereans. Yeah, the Bereans. The Bereans, that's in Acts 17:11. "Now these are more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things be so." You know, as I think about that word, that's a good practice. I said, that's a good practice. not just to listen and hear, but to test the word by the word. You need to do that today, friends, because not everybody who may be a preacher is preaching the word. So we need to be discerning. That's why these people were smart. They knew what to do. They said, well, we'll check out the preacher and see how this lines up with the word of God. Okay? So always, always, always go by the word. That's the safe way to go. So Luke, the author, says, Paul, thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. There's some key words there. Received, accepted, and performed the word of God. Yeah. It's the word that does the work. There's power in the word. There really is. If we'll take it in and accept it and let it be a part of us, it can transform our lives. Yes. I love the word of God. I said I love the word of God. And when you come to this service at 9 o'clock, you're going to hear the word of God. In Thessalonians, Paul takes note of how carefully they received the word. He says, and for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, that's that key word again, the word of God's message, you did what? You accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God. Yeah. You believe that? Not everybody in church believes that. Do you understand that? There's some branches of the church today that just do not accept the Bible as just being the word of God. But we do. And then go on here. Which, he says, just also performs its work in you who believe. I like Philip's translation. He says, it's a power in the lives of you who believe. That's what this is. It's a power in the hearts and lives of you who believe. Praise God. So take note, it won't be a power unless it's fully accepted and submitted to. So the key words that we see recurring again and again are received, accepted, believed. That's the process. That's the process. Bottom line, God is speaking to us. That's what this is all about. God is speaking to us. Amen? It's the word of God. You know, there's an interesting little story from New York that I want to tell you about a man and his Native American friend who are walking down the streets in New York. You ever been to New York? Oh, my. That's a different world. I don't know if it belongs to us or not, but anyhow. Life goes on in New York. You can be there at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's just as like it's in the daytime. Everything's just going on. Anyhow, an American Indian was downtown in New York, and if you've ever been there, you can appreciate this story. Suddenly, he said, I hear a cricket. I hear a cricket. Oh, his friend replied, you're crazy. You're crazy. No, he said, I hear a cricket. I do. I'm sure of it. It's noon hour. The people bustling around, cars honking, taxis squealing around corners, noises from the city. And oh, I'm sure you can't hear that. But I'm sure I do. He listened attentively and then walked to the corner across the street and looked all around. Finally, on the corner, he found a shrub in a large cement planter. He dug beneath the leaves and found the cricket. His friend was astounded. But the Cherokee said, no, my ears are no different than yours. It simply depends on what you're listening to. Here, let me show you. And he reached in his pocket and took out a bunch of change, dropped it on the cement. Everybody for a block around turned around and looked. You see, it's just that simple, friends. It's all in what you want to hear, what you really want to hear. And that's what's so important about the Word of God. I just when I saw this passage and the Lord just quickened it to my own heart, I thought how basic that is for all of us to recognize that we're listening to God and we need to respond. He wants a response from us. Amen. Just do it. Just do it. Yes, it's important to me. And I like this, the way he ends up. If you want to know if you're in the family of God, if you're any kin to Jesus, listen to what he said. My mother to me and brothers to me are those who are hearing the word of God and putting it into practice. It's the evidence that we belong to the family of Jesus. Amen? I like that. Yes. It's the kind of response that identifies who we really are. So the word this morning to you is just simple. Take care how you hear. That's something that we need to take with us every time we come to the Word of God, whether it's being taught or preached or whatever. Jesus' word to us is to all of us. If you don't hear, you'll never know what power there is in God's word to change your life and make you the person that you ought to be. Because there is power in the word. Amen. And Lord, I just pray that this simple word this morning will just sink into our hearts, that we really need to pay attention. That's what Jesus is trying to get us to do. When he says, take care, he's calling us to attention, to really give some special effort and special attention to what's going on and what we're hearing. Oh, Lord, help us that we may be able to hear your voice, and having heard it, that it will be implanted in our hearts and change our lives. God, I pray you'll just impress this word from Jesus into our hearts this morning and let the word become precious to us, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for speaking this word to us. We bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.